Answering your tough financial questions for the past 21 years, it's Hanson McLean's Money Matters with co-hosts Scott Hanson and Pat McLean.
Hi, this is Scott.
This is Pat.
Hey, we have a caller that got some cash he wasn't expecting. It's interesting how he spent it. We'll hear from him.
Yes, a very, very interesting call, as well as a ton of phone calls and the big question on Social Security.
Stick around.
Would you like an opinion on a financial matter you're dealing with? Whether it is about retirement, investments, taxes, or 401ks, Scott Hanson and Pat McLean would like to help you by answering your call. To join Hanson McLean's Money Matters, call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON.
Welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, really glad you are here with us today as we talk about financial matters and retirement planning issues and actually all things kind of related to
money,
finances, and
peace of mind. That's the hope.
That and then some more, I think, having some financial independence, being at a point where work is an option and not an obligation.
And many, many people get there.
Yeah. Because if you look at 2/3 of baby boomers say they don't really want to have a traditional retirement. But I think most people want to be in a position where retirement is clearly an option and they choose to go to work each day. So,
but what is it? The recent statistic I saw was somewhere around 40% of people actually left the workforce prior to when they expected they would.
Yeah, I think it's around 50%.
Is it?
Yeah, roughly half people. Anyway, both myself and a co-host, we're both financial advisors, certified financial planner, chartered financial consultant. We spend our weekdays meeting with people like yourself. We come here on the weekends to be your financial advisors on the air on this President's Day weekend. There used to be different President's Days.
How many?
Right?
Oh, Lincoln's.
There was. We used to celebrate
in
Lincoln's
Washington.
Birthday, and now it's just President's
All
Day.
Presidents. Even the ones you didn't really care for. The Howard Tafts of the world. We celebrate his day.
We're celebrating Taft and the trade tariffs he put in place.
Yes.
Wasn't that him?
I don't. You're
Taft-Hawley? I mean, it's the same guy. How many Tafts are there?
I don't know. My presidential history.
Is that a common name, Taft? I don't know.
I don't know. But anyway, it's President's Day, so we're going to celebrate all of them.
There we go. Well,
a whole weekend.
A day off work.
However you want to celebrate your President's
Day. Off. And if you want to be part, if you'd like to run a question by us.
And make that part of your President's Day weekend.
If you think, I'd like to call, but I don't really want my neighbors to know my business, just make up your name.
Yeah.
Now, don't make up your story too much, because otherwise it's not going to be too helpful, but.
Yeah, but if you don't want to use your real name,
just go by,
or even the real city you're calling from, you can make up a different city.
Yeah,
you say you're from
and gender.
Yeah,
choose the gender, whatever you want.
Your name, whatever you want.
And we'd be happy to take your call, answer your question regarding your financial matters. So if you're thinking about how can I afford to retire, am I set for retirement, or if your questions regarding is my portfolio right, the changes in the markets are making me nervous. I wonder if I'm overweighted in stocks or. The bond market, how do I structure this, or whatever the case may be, would love to take your question. Our contact number to be part of the program, quite simple, 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON, 1-888-2-HANSON. And numerically, it's 1-888-242-6766.
And we'll get
also,
you
if you're
on
listening,
the air.
If you are have your mobile device with you, you'll notice on our website, you can just click the phone number. And the phone number that is through the week on the weekends comes to this. And we will take your call and hopefully get your question answered. And
see if we can help.
See if we can be of value in some way whatsoever. So why don't we start off with the phones in Northern California, and we're going to talk with Peter. Peter, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hi, glad you guys took my call. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, Peter.
Hey, I got an unusual problem, at least I think it is. I got this huge windfall in 2017, a little shy of $300,000.
Okay. And what was
that's the... Gone.
What was the
kill me with? With me, pardon?
What was the source of the money?
My retirement system was CalPERS, and they did their own investigation, determined the county I worked for shorted me 6 years service credit.
You're kidding
me. 2000. No. And then, so I retired. Huh?
How did they pay it out to you?
I paid $37,000 and change to make up for the contributions I would have made had they been counting me as an employee instead of a contract employee.
Oh, and so for $37,000, they gave you $300,000.
Basically, yeah.
Like, yeah. We made a mistake. You actually should have been an employee, classified as an employee. You're classified as contractor. Had you been employee, you would have participated in the pension plan, and we would have contributed on your behalf as well, right? So,
it's exactly correct.
And how did they pay it to you? Did they pay it to you in a lump sum? Did they pay
you
it
betcha.
To you? They did.
$284,000, I got $115,000 check. The rest went to the feds and the
state. Why didn't you put this into an IRA?
Yeah, that's when did they pay it to you?
Just now.
How, when you say just now, what? When you say just
I mean,
now?
In November 2017, and you know I can't do an IRA. I'm 72.
Oh yeah,
yes, you can.
Yeah, you could have. This came from a pension plan.
Well, it wasn't. I don't know if it was really from a pension plan.
Yeah, it was paid from a pension plan.
See, I paid that $37,000.
Understand?
Out of an IRA. I paid for it out of an IRA.
So these were this is qualified. This is what's considered qualified retirement dollars, Peter. So these are dollars that have yet to been taxed, and you should have had the option to have these dollars transferred directly to a retirement account.
And we know that because of the fact that you actually paid for these things with
your IRA.
Well, it's
with retirement, unless it was some sort of a strange.
Well, it was a defined benefit pension plan. It was a defined benefit pension plan that was paid up, missed. So here's what, but that's beyond us now. You can't do anything about it. You passed the 60 days for the rollover.
Yeah, they didn't give me any choices, but anyway.
So what's your question for us?
What I am wondering is, you know, this is going to just do horrible things to my Medicare premiums.
Yes.
Just for
and
a year.
I know for a year, but then you got to. I had this experience years and years ago, and the Medicare people were going to keep those higher premiums even after my income dropped back down.
Yeah, so what'll happen is Medicare, because your income exceeds the limits, it's a little under $200,000 for a married couple. Your Medicare Part B premium goes up, and it'll take a while for it to then back adjust. So you are correct in the fact that you'll continue to pay the higher premium for a period of time, but it'll drop back down, and they'll reimburse the difference on that. But I'm still kind of trying to figure out this.
The ship has sailed. So he basically could have done a number of different things. He could have gone to PERS and said, I don't want this in a lump sum. Will you pay it to me over a 5-year period? They would just use in a calculation.
Or a pension.
Or an increase in the lifetime.
Did they give
pension?
You an option in a monthly annuity?
Well, my monthly pension went up.
Because it was paid in arrears. That's all behind him.
Ongoing, though, my pension is up $3,000 a month.
Correct. But this was paid in arrears.
$3,000 additional per month?
Yes. That's ongoing. But I got that back payment of...
How long ago did you retire?
2009.
So I wonder if this is worth. And what's your normal income? What would your normal income be?
$130,000.
Okay.
So you think the ship has sailed on this? I'm not 100% sure this. See, you should have had the opportunity to transfer this to a retirement account and avoided any current income taxes. And you could have taken the distributions out over the rest of your life and really reduced your income taxes, and you wouldn't be having this Medicare tax issue.
Well, I guess I wish I'd known. But you see, I really wanted to give all that money away, and I did.
Okay.
Well, when did you give it away?
I gave it away
in 2017. I gave away $45,000 to fund my church's free clinic for another year.
Okay.
And I gave away $86,500 to build a grade school in Kenya.
Oh, good, good for good, you. Good for you. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So you you've mitigated a large part of this tax.
Yes. I'm not quite as upset.
Yeah. You've mitigated a large part of this tax. So yes, your Medicare premiums will go up, but only for a period of time. Was that your question for us?
Yeah. What's your big question?
Well, I actually remember something about a special life event or something where sometimes you could get around that big increase in Medicare premiums. So any way to get around that?
Not that I know of.
Not that I know of.
Not that I know of. But well, by the way, Peter, you are how old?
72.
72.
And you gave, this money was given to you because of a mistake, and you turned around and gave a large portion of $131,000 away to charity. God bless you.
Yeah. Truly. Yeah, I did.
I was on the phone this week with a client of mine, and they build schools in Boca Haran, not Boca Raton, Boca.
I don't know.
Burkina
Faso. I've been to Burkina Faso.
Of course you have.
I
have been
in Africa. They build schools just like Peter did, and that's what they have decided to do with their wealth over the rest of their life. Their stated goal is, we have more than we'll ever use. We know we're not going to run out. Help us gift this, and so we have put together a strategy at Hanson McLean to help them gift these dollars to charities.
Well, studies have showed that people find the most satisfaction not with things, but with experiences. And particularly
that's
for those
right.
that have a heart towards something, by being able to invest in something like that, particularly dollars that, A, you weren't expecting, B, I don't know what your overall pension is, but considering you got a $3,000 monthly raise, it obviously looks like your monthly income is not an issue, so you don't have to worry about, you're never going to have to worry about running out of money. You have a guaranteed pension from the government.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all. So I heard about this money, and I thought, oh boy, who can I give it to?
Perfect. All right.
It was great. I loved it. I didn't need it.
Swing by my house. I'll introduce you to my kids. They're always got they always have their hands out. Always.
they're not quite as in need, I must say.
Well, that
not
is correct.
Not the McLean kids. I don't think quite as need.
But it doesn't stop them from putting their hand out. Well, Peter, thank you. Appreciate the call.
Appreciate the call. Thanks, Peter.
That was a nice story.
Glad you'd be part of Hanson McLean Exposed. Anyway,
if you'd like to join the show, 888-2-HANSON. That's 888-2-HANSON or 888. Scott hates it when I say 888.
I don't hate it. I just say it's quicker and it's cleaner. 888-242-6766.
Well, I'm going to now.
I hate it.
242-6766.
My daughter gets like that. She's frustrated over little tiny things, drive her nuts. She'll look at me. Your gum, Dad. My gum, chewing my gum, it drives her crazy. She hates all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
So when you say Scott hates it, now I'm thinking compare me and my daughter.
I think you have a good relationship with your daughter, do you not?
I do. That I do.
All right. Well, we're going to on-air therapy with Scott Hanson. Well,
that'll be a long show. Let's go to the calls here. Back to Southern California now at 1-888-2-HANSON. We're talking with Kevin. Kevin, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for joining us.
Hey, my wife and I are going through some planning here, and we got a couple of objectives we're trying to achieve, and we got a couple of options as to how to achieve that. So I wanted to run those by you and see
Perfect.
What you thought.
Fire away, please. Thank you.
Okay. We lived in our home for almost 9 years. Now this summer will be 9 years. My in-laws actually own the home, and so we're looking at purchasing it from them at much less than the current market value. So we're going to try to build that into where they have enough to repay their initial investment plus a little bit of interest. So that's the one of the objectives. The second one is I'd like to put more into my 401k. My wife doesn't have that option with her current employer, so we're trying to get to the point where we can maximize that.
Okay.
And so the three things that we're thinking of doing here is, recently my wife inherited an annuity account from her grandmother, which by the advice of the chartered financial consultant that we saw who was handling the affairs, he directed us to put the money into a settlement option over the course of 10 years.
Okay.
We looked over the paperwork, and it is revocable. So we're thinking of possibly cashing that out to pay off the loan that I have on my truck.
How much is in it?
Oh, it's $32,000, and they said it would be about $27,000 cashed out.
Is that because of taxes or because of other fees?
I believe so. Yeah, because there's like $21,000 is taxable.
So are you receiving a payment,
a monthly payment now,
or an annual payment over 10 years?
So at every month for 10 years, it's supposed to be $275 after they take taxes out.
How old are you?
I'm 37.
And you put $32,000. So why would you only get $27,000?
That's just the number we were told that if we were to cash it out after they took the taxes out, that's what we would.
After tax, okay.
Okay, all right. We were afraid someone sold you, product, sold you an annuity. All right.
No.
My skin was starting to crawl. Okay.
He labeled it as a non-qualified annuity settlement option.
Thank you. Okay, right, good enough. Yeah, yeah. Good enough. You just took a 10, yes. Okay. 10 pay on that. And how much do you owe on your truck?
Ironically, $27,000.
Okay. All right. So what's your next question for us?
So then she also inherited a small life insurance policy for about $6,900. That's fully, liquid, but it's currently in a deposit, flexible payout deposit, getting 3% right now.
Okay.
And then we also have about $17,000 in savings. So to achieve the two objectives, we're thinking that by freeing up that my payment for the truck, which is about $670, we can apply a bunch of that into my retirement.
Mm-hmm.
And then between the rest of the dollar amounts that are available with our savings and whatnot, we should have plenty of money for a down payment on the house if need be.
Got it.
How are you going to do the mortgage on the house?
So we've been kind of going back and forth, and what we've talked about is taking the value of the home and subtracting out what the current balance is on the loan, which was originally only $135,000, when the house was purchased by my in-laws. And so after their initial investment is paid back, whatever equity is left over, we've decided to split with them.
Okay, fair enough.
So how are you going to finance this?
Are you going to get like a 15-year, 30-year loan from a bank, conventional lender? Your in-laws going to carry the paper? How?
No, we would get a loan. Okay. We decided on $150,000 as the purchase price.
Easy enough. So let me shoot a couple holes in your little story. One is your wife inherited the money, you did not.
Exactly.
And so it is considered separate property in the state of California, and therefore she needs to know that once she commingles this with your property, it becomes half yours.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So if she was in my office, I would say, this is the danger. If you separate at some point in the future, if you had kept these dollars separate, they would have been a part of your estate, not part of the community property. That's the biggest problem with this. The other is,
I don't know if it's a problem.
Well, she needs to be aware of it.
Yeah. All right.
When your wife inherited some money, Scott, did she keep it separate?
16 years of marriage, I hope that we wouldn't have that problem.
Well, 16, 60, 600. I've seen it all. No, truly.
All you're saying is she needs to be aware of that.
She needs to be aware of it. What the decision she makes is entirely.
Otherwise, I mean, what else? Otherwise, I think it's a fine option.
Yeah, that's probably fine. I'd be okay with it. I think it's not a bad plan.
Yeah, I think you're good.
All right.
I wouldn't worry too much more about it.
Yeah, just do it. And I'd do it before interest rates started going up.
Yeah,
I'd
do
up.
It sooner than later. I mean, no one knows what the value of a home is going to do in the short term, but the fact is you're buying a home for long term. Interest rates are low. It's a good time to be doing it if it's for your primary residence and for a long period of time. All right, to be part of Hanson McLean's Money Matters, 1-888-2-HANSON is the number to join us, 1-888-2-HANSON. And let's talk to Michelle. Michelle, you're with Hanson McLean.
my father recently died and left my three siblings and I some money. And my question is that money automatically taxed as income for each of us, or does it depend on what kind of investments he had his money in?
Yes.
The latter part.
Depends on what type of investments he had it in. So tell us about what you inherited. Sorry for the loss of your father.
Thank you.
Tell us about the investments.
Yeah, so he had sold his home before he went into assisted living, and he put all that money into various different kinds of stock funds, and he also had his 401k invested in various stock funds.
Okay, and how much was the dollars in the various stock funds outside the 401k?
About $250,000.
That will come to you tax-free. There will be no income tax on that.
That will come tax-free?
Tax-free.
That's correct.
That money.
So we each can pass along about $5.5 million before there's estate taxes. But there are some times when there are some assets that are still subject to tax. But considering he took money that had already been taxed, bought some securities, the only taxation you could face is if there's been a change in the price of those securities when you sell them compared to the day when he passed away. So, which would be negligible.
Yeah, minimal. How much money came from the 401k?
I think he exhausted most of that, probably about $50,000.
Okay, and were all three of you named as beneficiaries in the 401k?
All of us were named in all the money. I mean, he had a trust and we were all named in it.
Okay, yeah. So the 401k, those dollars will be taxable to each one of you at your ordinary income tax rates. So what you pay on those dollars might be different than what your two sisters pay on those, because they will be taxed at ordinary income based on the family's household income. So that $50,000,
right.
You have a choice, though. You can put those into beneficiary IRA and then stagger those payments out over a series of years.
May or may not be worth the hassle.
I probably, if you were sitting in my office, because each one of you inherited approximately $17,000 in this, depending upon the family income, I might have it paid out over 2 or 3 years, or maybe all of it immediately, just because it's probably not worth the hassle. I would use it as a planning technique.
What, any other assets?
No.
Okay, yeah. So that's your only thing you need to worry about is what came out of the 401k. Typically, what we find is when inheritance, the only time people get stuck with tax, not the only, but typically, it's in 401ks and IRAs, so retirement accounts, and annuities.
And sometimes savings bonds, but very, very rarely.
You don't see them as many anymore.
You don't see them as much at all. But mostly annuities and qualified pension plans or IRAs.
The rest of the assets are stepped up to a fair market value. So let's assume your dad had bought stock years ago at $1 and it's worth $100 now. All that gain is forgiven at death. And the heirs can receive it with no taxation.
Which is strange.
But that's the tax law. So.
Yeah, that's not what I would have expected. I would have expected the exact opposite.
Yep. No, that's not how it works, though. So you're fine. And quite frankly, I would probably pay that IRAs out directly to the families just to get it over with and pay taxes on it. All righty.
Okay. All right. Well, that's very helpful. Thanks so much.
All right. Appreciate the call.
Thanks for calling, Michelle. And stretching the IRA sometimes makes sense, but there's also rules you got to follow and...
It can be cumbersome and for smaller amounts. There are probably financial advisors out there right now screaming at the radio that we're morons. We're practical. And you might be right about
that. Well, how it depends. How complicated do you want your financial life, or how simple do you want your financial life? And if the degrees are negligible as far as what it does to your net worth for having a simple life versus a complex life, if it were me,
choose the simple.
Scott, here's two options. You could have a lot of complexity. And I sometimes see people that have advisors that have them in all kinds of crazy stuff. This kind of partnership here, private equity thing here, hedge fund here. I'll get this limit. Others, you're in this limited partnership, this other apartment complex here, et cetera. And it's just some person who had sold their business. They're thinking, I didn't want this level. This is more complex than my stinking business was.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to be that way.
Can be easy.
You don't have to live like Donald Trump. All those different partnerships, all different things.
Yeah.
There's people with significant wealth that have very simple financial lives. Very simple financial lives. We're going to take a quick break here, but before we do, we've got some workshops coming up I want to briefly let you know about.
So we, last month, had these workshops called the 7 Personal Decision Points. And one
Retirement Transition Workshop.
Yes, and one of the things that we talk about in that is Social Security benefits. We have more questions on Social Security benefits than any other question at any other event. It's always, what about Social Security? So we have 3 Social Security events coming up where they're live workshops where we actually walk through the 5 steps to manage your Social Security.
Yep, and it's really for those that have done a good job saving. They worked hard, they saved hard. Now, how do you integrate your 401k, your other savings, your pension, and everything else with your Social Security? So the week of March 12th, we're in the Sacramento Capital Region. And the week of March 19th, we're in the Bay Area and in the Greater Denver Region. So more information on that, go to HanselMcLane.com. You'll get the full details and you can register. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will continue with calls 1-888-2-HANSEN. This has been Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Stick around for our second half.
Wondering if you're on track with your financial matters? Call now at 1-888-2-HANSEN. That's 1-888-2-HANSON.
Can't get enough of Hanson McLean's Money Matters? Visit HansonMcLean.com/radio to listen to the Money Matters podcast.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean.
And if you want to be part of the program, 1-888-2-HANSEN. A question for us, anything financial related, 1-888-2-HANSON. Numerically, it's 888-242-6766. I would love to take your call regarding some financial matter you are dealing with.
Get you on the air.
That's right. You'll find that this program, we tend to talk more long-term planning issues. Obviously, like we like taking calls, and one of the reasons we like taking calls is because, A, we find that people have questions.
Yes.
And don't necessarily want to go see a financial advisor and find this is a place that they can get a straightforward advice without the fear of being sold something. So we enjoy taking advice for that reason. And another part of the reason, I think, is so that our listeners get a chance to kind of see what a financial planning process looks like. Although we do it in 4 minutes as opposed to, an hour or two.
But it's the kind of, oftentimes we'll answer questions people didn't ask. They'll call in and they'll say, what about this? And it actually leads into something completely different oftentimes just because of the questions we ask, which is to try to understand each individual's personal circumstances.
And you'll find we tend not to talk too much about the news of the day. And the reason for that is a couple of things. One, the news of the day is available everywhere. It's plentiful, right? There's every website, news store. You can get the news of the day. You know, so the stock market's, the volatility certainly increased. Every news channel was going through it. Our office received many calls over the last couple of weeks on when the markets do weird things.
But we put out videos.
Mike, to my point, if you are a subscriber to our newsletters and part of the Hanson McLean community that way, we will produce articles and videos with our perspective on the news of the day. That's more timely than a weekend program because
they're normally on that day.
If
there's a lot of volatility, we will put out.
And it's not really that, oh, the Dow did this or this. It's more of kind of, what does this mean to you? What am I supposed to do?
Why does this matter?
Or does it matter?
Yes.
Yeah. Or does this matter, right? Because if you're a long-term investor, if you're 60 or 70 or 50, you've got a long time ahead of you. You're going to go, life's
the hope.
Well, yes, but a long time ahead of you. So you can either get caught up in the noise of the moment and forget about even short-term history.
Or you could keep your eye on your objectives and what you're trying to achieve and how does this all work together.
Yeah, because if you're a stock investor, that money should be for at least at a minimum of 5 years, if not more.
Yeah, and if you need money prior to 5+ years, you probably shouldn't have it in stocks. And it's okay to have a percentage of your portfolio either in money markets or short-term bonds. It's absolutely okay.
Yeah. I mean, if there's money you need, if you've got a kid going to college in the fall, I wouldn't have my kids' college money in stocks if they're going to college in the fall. If you've got money set aside for a down payment on a house.
Not the appropriate place to be.
But if you've got...
If you're in your 50s, mid-50s, and you're wanting to retire in 10 years, sure, it's perfectly okay to have 60, 50, 60, 70, maybe even 80% of your portfolio in equities. Just understanding that with those higher rates of return over periods of time, the cost of that is volatility or ups and downs.
Ups and downs.
And most people don't worry about the ups as much as they do the downs.
Well, of course not.
Well, we worry a little bit when they're moving up too fast.
That is correct.
We worry when it moves up too fast.
There's no question. Well, when prices...
When earnings don't move with them.
When prices move faster than earnings, it's troublesome.
Yeah.
I get excited.
If earnings move up...
And frankly, if you're still saving and investing for retirement, you're not yet retired, you're not living off your portfolio, I don't know why you'd want high prices. You'd want to buy at the cheapest prices possible.
Well, there's a psychological reason.
I understand all that. I do understand all that.
And people have a tendency to actually move those dollars into asset classes that have already done well.
I understand those things.
Well, they're not the only one listening, though. There are people listening to the show as well.
This last January.
Yes.
Right? We had record inflows into stock funds. The biggest 1 month period in history of money flowing to U.S. stock funds.
Yes, and out of bond funds too.
This is when things look super rosy.
Do you not think that was caused a little bit by the tax cuts? I had a neighbor of mine came over and told me that he was taking everything he had and going to 100% equity because the market was going to be on fire because of the tax cuts and what it's going to do for corporate America.
Yeah, you said good for you.
I said I don't completely agree with 100% agree with your premise.
Anyway, so my point is, if you are not yet a subscriber to Hanson McLean's newsletters, we encourage you to go to our website, hansonmclean.com, sign up for our newsletters. We will provide perspective on when there's odd market volatility, other issues. We'll provide perspectives and send out commentary at that time. So let's head to the calls. 1-888-2-HANSON. We're talking with Bill in the Bay Area. Bill, welcome to Hanson McLean.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, Bill. What can we do for you?
So I have a question that concerns Social Security, the Windfall Elimination Program, WEP.
Yep.
And the government pension offset, GPO, as it relates to a California teacher.
Got it.
So the first question is, you have a teacher who's currently working. They will, in the future, receive a STIRS pension in mid-June of this year. They're going to retire this June. And they didn't contribute into Social Security. So... right now, they're age 62, coming up in mid-February.
All right.
In a couple of weeks. So, and they had a prior to being a teacher, they worked, and they have 40 quarters of Social Security, but only 6 substantial earning years.
Okay. And do they plan on retiring completely, or do they plan on entering a different profession other than being a teacher?
Retiring completely. So right now, if you go to Social Security, they give you this benefit statement.
That doesn't mean anything.
And it gives you three numbers, 62, mm-hmm. full retirement age, and 70. But those are going to be reduced because of these other two WEPs and GPO. So the first question is, I was told that the WEP doesn't go away 100%, but they will reduce it. So the question is, so there's two questions. One, if you retire in February and work till June, can they sign up for February and get 4 months of that full amount? Or is it still, do they look forward and say, oh, well, you're going to get a pension anyway, so you got to take a lower amount?
So why are they retiring and then working? I don't understand what you're asking.
What age are they?
Well, no, they're not retiring. They're going to take their Social Security
at what
retirement.
Age?
At age 62.
Okay, at 62, they'll be limited. There's the you can only earn about $17,000 in the year before you lose benefits.
Yeah, and then even if it's for the year, then they have the a special monthly rule.
So it wouldn't make any sense to take it early because you wouldn't.
Although if they were a full retirement age.
But they're not.
They're not.
If they were 66.
If it was full retirement age, okay.
Yeah.
Full retirement age, but early it wouldn't because, okay, so just retire and then take the Social Security.
That is correct.
So the next question is, what's the maximum reduction that the WIP allows for in 2018?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know that either. I've seen people's
I've seen it as much as 90%.
Yeah, they thought they were going to be a nice benefit, got down to about $100. We do have a Social Security Maximizer program that we use as an advisory firm that I know other advisors use that can plug in all of these variables to come up with some answers. So, and because everyone's situation is unique, right? So you're talking about someone who had 40 quarters, so fully qualified for Social Security in one different job. I guess the idea behind this, it comes back to, it's supposed to be no double dipping, right? But you're looking at the challenge is someone who's been a teacher says, well, wait a minute, just because I quit contributing to Social Security, I was still contributing to my pension. I feel like I'm getting penalized.
I know. But don't try to figure it out. It was created in the logic free zone back east.
Yeah. So our answer to you would be that, so we subscribe to a, sophisticated software program that's kept up to date on a monthly basis with all the changes in the rules. And that's how we would actually determine what the amount of the windfall elimination provision would be. And I always love the word where you talk about
windfall.
A teacher's retirement being a windfall.
Windfall.
Yeah, it's a windfall. Well,
yeah.
No, the windfall, it's the elimination. The windfall would be the Social Security.
Yes.
Oh, is that eliminated. The windfall? Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That's the windfall.
Yeah.
And your pension is what you get. So it's.
So the.
Anyway.
Without going through all the real numbers, we couldn't tell you what the windfall elimination period could be. We can tell you with certainty. Don't take it at 62. You'll just end up giving it right back.
Yeah. And
No. Okay. So that was good. So that's good. So just wait until. Okay, so that was that. And then the other one was the GPO, which I think you get zero because the pension is so much bigger than that. When you do the math, it comes out to a negative number.
That sounds right.
Yep.
So that there you go. I was trying to find out. Someone told me there was a maximum amount that they could take away, and it changes each year.
I don't know if that's true or not.
If it is, it's a very large maximum.
I don't know if that's
because we have many people that are retired teachers that literally their Social Security is $120 a month, that sort of thing.
Yeah. Well,
the best way is actually running the real numbers.
Yeah.
And moving forward in that way.
Yeah.
And how do I get access to your magic?
Call our firm. You know, we'll help you. Yeah, we can't give the software to you, but we can help you.
No, we can help you
get to the decision.
Yeah, be happy.
I mean, there's only like 8 numbers, and you put them
that's
in.
Correct.
And it should be able to.
That's correct.
Kick out an answer.
Yeah,
yeah.
So that that's really like we can't. Otherwise, I can't just really make up a number off the top of our head on what it's going to be the next. We'll crunch into the numbers. I appreciate the call, Bill. But fortunately, I mean, there are some good programs out there today to help calculate when's the best time to take it. Do you defer it?
Yeah. What's your health like?
Actually, there's formulas to crunch the numbers. Then it comes back to these other life issues.
Yeah. What's your health like? What's your spouse's health like? What's your income like? What does it do to Medicare Part B? In fact, when we do these educational workshops, on the 7 personal decision points, the number one question in the room has to do with Social Security.
So during the program today, we've got a special guest because, I say special, there's some things that are certain for all of us in life. One of those is our death, right? I mean, we're all going to die. No one gets out of here alive. So we're
it
all...
used to be they'd say death and taxes, but since a large percentage of the population doesn't pay taxes.
Half of America, roughly, pays no income taxes.
Income taxes.
They pay other taxes.
They pay sales taxes, gasoline taxes, road taxes.
Regressive taxes like the lottery.
Yeah, yeah, those are voluntary.
Cigarette taxes.
Voluntary.
Alcohol taxes.
Voluntary. You're getting a little close to home here.
Okay. Anyway, but clearly we all pass away, and estate planning is something that more than half of us die without a will or trust in place. Right?
Yes.
We look at this, and even attorneys die without a will or trust in place. So we thought it'd be good to have an estate planning attorney joining us and talk about some of the changes.
The new changes.
Yeah, to estate planning and what we all need to be paying attention to when it comes to our estate planning. So Andrew Kroll, he's an estate planning and asset protection attorney at the Kroll Law Offices. He's over 20 years experience as an estate planning attorney in the Denver region. He specializes in wills, trust, estate planning, estate administration, elder law, and asset protection. Andrew, welcome to Hanson McLean.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for joining us today. So what are the biggest changes that we've seen in estate planning?
Did you say what are the biggest changes?
Yeah.
With respect to the tax law, you mean?
Yes, yes, the new tax law.
The main change is that the exemption or the amount that a person can die with without being taxed has gone up significantly, at least for now.
And when you say that, so it moved from what, 11 million to 22 million, something like
per
that.
Couple.
Per couple, correct? Is that somewhere around
per
there?
Per couple, yeah. It's 11.2 per individual. So, but the main thing I would say about that is all of these laws are temporary. They're temporary because this law sunsets. So it is scheduled to end, I believe, at the end of 2025. And then it goes back to the way the law was. But also, you know, as we know, there's no predicting politics, and the laws can be rewritten just like this one was written at any time when you have an election. So these are compromised frequently.
And you could gift this while you're living as well, correct?
You can make gifts. A lot of people don't understand that there is a gift tax, but the focus is on what do you transfer at death and how much can you transfer during life. And so, yes, there is a way to gift it, but there are pluses and minuses to giving during life versus giving at death. Sometimes those are income tax and other advantages or disadvantages.
And have you found that when the estate exemptions increased, because they, you know, a few years back they increased to $5 million each, was there less people doing estate plans? Less, because I would hear people say, well, I don't really need a trust because the estate limits are so high. Have you found that less people are doing estate planning because of the high exemptions?
I have not personally found that. I think, you know, when you say doing estate planning, there's a whole bunch of, most of estate planning has nothing to do with tax. Basically, what it has to do with is planning for incapacity. There's privacy concerns. There's probate is a concern. There's management of assets and control that the people leaving things to their beneficiaries are going to care about, asset protection. So none of those things have anything to do with tax. And so I find with most people, the tax might be a trigger for them, but the other things end up actually affecting them.
That makes sense to me. That absolutely makes sense to me.
Yeah, so when you're planning, what we've noticed as financial advisors, some of the challenges, second marriage oftentimes, how do we title the beneficiaries of our retirement accounts when there's second marriage?
Yeah. What happens? Can my current spouse live off the money until their death? If I pass away, can my current spouse live off the money till their death, and then it passes to my heirs? Do you address that?
Sure. Second marriages are one of the more interesting situations that we deal with, and that, you know, one of the themes that I've had to develop over time is avoiding fights, avoiding conflict. So what I would say, number one, a few factors to consider are, you know, what did the parties bring into the marriage? Are there any marital agreements or prenups and things like that? So over time in my practice, I ended up just drafting a lot of prenups, so I felt comfortable with the interaction of how marital agreements affect estate planning. Also worth considering the ages of the kids. What are the goals of the parties, the husband and wife in the second marriage or third marriage or seventh marriage? How things are titled.
What are you representing, Larry King or what?
you would be surprised. I joke, but you know, it does get that to that degree.
Oh, I can imagine.
But how things are titled is very important because, you know, most people take their house in joint tenancy. So, you know, the quick version of that is that husband and wife owning a house in joint tenancy might want the house or their portion to go to their kids. If they don't do any planning, it's going to go to the surviving joint tenant. And my theme, avoiding conflict, you know, if you plan, you can avoid, you can do things like tenants in common, you can make specific provisions in the trust. But the other factor is communication. I think it's really important, if appropriate, to discuss with the kids while they're alive, while mom and dad are alive, being specific, making a clear statement. We have, in some cases, drafted a letter to both sides of the family saying, this is what we did and this is why we did it. Because if you don't, people die, and it's like a guaranteed fight.
You see it
for money
all the time, and especially when one of the children is named as a trustee and the other is not, there's always this undercurrent of, I shouldn't say always, oftentimes, there's this undercurrent of distrust, and that person is taking advantage
Andrew,
of the situation.
So, Andrew, I've been practicing a financial advisor 27 years, 28 years. This is the first time I've had an estate plan attorney state this to me.
What, to actually write a letter while everyone's alive?
With the trust, here's why we set it up this way.
And while everyone's alive.
Well, we had the case, you know, where we didn't write the letter, or I heard about the case where you didn't write the letter, and just, you know, just everybody, it's like a predictable fight. If you can avoid that, if you can put out there, here's why we're doing it, it really prevents the kids who you know are going to fight from having any kind of argument. And you can even put a disincentive in the plan if you do cause trouble, given the fact that we did this. You know, you're not going to get anything, or you're going to be disincentivized to do that. So it's just trying to be smart.
And especially if you're coming from a mixed marriage, right? When children, these kids may not have even grown up together or even know each other very well in a
yep.
second marriage.
Yeah, yeah.
And
second
marriage, you don't want to create the fight.
And second marriage is,
yeah.
They're not just when, you know, working age couples. It's oftentimes someone gets widowed late in life and gets
yes.
remarried, right? And those sort of things right. happen. So, Andrew, oftentimes we'll see, and by the way, this is Andrew Kroll. We're talking with an estate plan attorney in the Denver region here at Hanson McLean. Oftentimes we'll see people with a parent taking a shortcut on getting a trust or will, and will list things in joint tenants, like take the checking account, put their name on the savings account.
The house.
Account. Yes.
They
A, the dangers to that, and B, what are some other solutions they could do?
So shortcuts, you know, it's like anything else. If it's an incomplete solution, you're either not solving the problem completely or you're actually creating more problems. Joint tenancy was a great example of that. But what, you know, none of the stuff that we do is, to be honest, is terribly expensive. But it's always, every time you step into a court, which is what this usually ends up in, you end up spending $4,000 or $5,000. There's a bunch of aggravation. A lot of the stuff that is done to prevent it, you know, a revocable trust is an example, or a will if it fits the circumstances. Those are things that can try to better cover that. It's just there's a lot of polarized information. Somebody does joint tenancy, or they try to take the shortcut because their friend is telling them everybody should do this or you can do this, but they're not telling them the negatives of it. And so it's just doing it right, there's never a substitute for doing it right. It's the same thing in with financial advice. You can't go online and, you know, you need an expert who understands retirement planning, going into those situations, how to maximize the opportunities. It's the same thing with law. With law, you have to do it the right way or you're going to get stuck with the results of the shortcut.
And Andrew, I have two friends that do nothing but estate complex, what they call it, complex estate litigation is what they call it. And right. It is exactly what you describe, which is the family fighting with the family about.
And you're not around anymore. To
yeah. About what mom and dad wanted me to do, or mom and mom, or dad and dad, or whoever I wanted that asset to go.
Right.
How often should someone have their will or trust updated?
I'm not sure if when they necessarily have to update it, but they should get a checkup on it every 3 to 5 years.
Three to 5 years.
Because sometimes you'll go to do the checkup, and, you know, at my firm, you know, our policy to try to promote people doing that is we don't charge for a checkup. We charge for new work. But and usually lawyers charge you for every 5 seconds they spend. But
well, you're not billing us for being on
wait
the
a minute,
show,
yeah,
are you?
Wait a minute. I didn't see a client
we'll do
engagement.
Lawyer jokes later.
Yeah, no kidding.
You lawyers, but, you crack yeah. me up.
Well, so to promote people doing that, we like to get people in every 3 to 5 years and just have them look at, you know, did the law change? Did their circumstances or did their goals change? And maybe they didn't, but at least they look at it just like you go to your annual physical, you know, every 3 to 5 years. Or if there's an event that happens to you.
A life event.
You know, you yeah. do it then. Yeah.
Well, hey, Andrew, appreciate that. I think that's good advice, and hopefully our listeners will heed that advice if they have not had their estate plan updated in the last 3 to 5 years. And again, our guest has been Andrew Kroll. He's an estate planning and asset protection attorney at the Kroll Law Offices in the Denver region. Thanks again, Andrew, for being part of the program.
Sure, thank you.
All right, thanks. Well, we are unfortunately running out of time on this President's Day weekend, so hopefully.
But we will encourage you to go to our website and sign up for our workshops, 5 Steps to Managing Your Social Security. And the workshops
if
are.
If that's not exciting information.
Wake the kids, call the neighbors. Go to HansenMcLean.com to find out more. And these workshops will be on the week of March the 12th in the Sacramento region and in Denver and the San Francisco Bay Area on the week of March the 19th.
Yeah, again, these are ideal for those that have saved well for retirement, are planning for retirement, and try to figure out how to maximize their Social Security. So we're out of time. Join us next Saturday, this same time. This has been Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
This program has been brought to you by Hanson McLean Advisors, a registered investment advisory firm. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific financial advice, and you should consult your own financial advisor, tax consultant, or estate planning attorney to conduct your own due diligence.